This morning, what I do want to do is we've been talking about growing in our walk with the Lord, what it means to grow spiritually. We've taken time and we've talked about our new nature that God has given to us. We've talked about prayer and the importance of it. We've talked about the Word of God. We've talked about why church is important, a number of things. These are all just components that make up who you are. But it leads us to a place now where, you know, last week we talked last couple weeks we talked about giving and we've talked about different topics. In your life, in your walk with Christ, there's going to be times when you will face trials. And the question is not if I'll face trials, but when I'll face trials. What are you going to do? How are you going to navigate those? Because they're very important. Now, I know that some of this you're going to have to just kind of buckle in with me, okay? Because it's stuff that we don't want to hear. I would rather get up here today and preach to you and tell you there is therefore now no trials if you're a Christian. But that's not in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it says the opposite. He made sure to put it in the Bible and say that in this world you will have what? Trials and tribulations. Hey, wait a minute, Jesus. If I give my heart to you, you're telling me that I still am going to face difficult times? Yes, he said, you are, but don't worry because I've overcome the world. In other words, not being a Christian doesn't mean you don't face trials. It just means you go through them without Christ in your life, and it's going to be way worse. But when you have Christ at the center of your life and you're growing spiritually, you and I will discover as we go through this today that trials are actually designed to bring out the best in us. Trials, if looked at properly, can help us grow in our spiritual walk. So I've got just a number of observations you see in your outline if you want to follow along with us today that I got a little number happy going through those, just making observations. But each of them are practical points, but yet many times we fail to engage in some of these areas. And so what I want to do is just try to take a look at those and figure out today, if you're here, and you'll hear me say this a number of times, but if you're here, you're either going through a trial, have just come out of a trial, or you're heading directly towards one. Because we're always in that kind of state. There's always something that's going on. I particularly like to be in that state of nothing's going on and something's around the corner, hopefully 10 years down the road, but that's not usually the way it works. And when we face these trials, though this may not be a popular topic, it is a real part of life, and we have to know how to navigate these waters as well. You know, when I was a kid, TV wasn't like it is today. You turn on the TV today, and you have at your disposal over 675 bajillion channels, right? There's a lot of channels. And most of them, what I find now is it's funny, as a kid, I used to have three options, channel 4, 6, and 8, right? And so you, three options, you found something. But now today, we can have 375 options, and I can't find a thing on the television that I want to watch. It's crazy. But here's what almost always happened. I remember being at my grandma's house, because we'd go there almost every weekend. We'd be in Harmon, Illinois, population 400, nothing to do. Sit, watch the TV, and channel 4, 6, and 8. And I would watch my favorite shows, primetime, right? And you probably watched yours. Mine were shows like The A-Team or MacGyver or, you know, Miami Vice or something like that, whatever night it was on. And when I would watch that show, it almost seemed like without fail, while I'm watching that show, at the best point, at the point where you're like, yes, 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 and it's getting good in the show, all of a sudden on the TV, boo, this is a notification of your National Weather Service or, you know, some kind of an emergency broadcast system. We want to test this so in the case or in the event of a real emergency, you'll know what to do. And I'm thinking, blah, 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 blah. Get me back to my show. You know, they interrupted my show and they say, this is a test. This is only a test. You're right. It's testing my patience because I want to see what's going on. And then it would return me, once it got done, it would return me back to my show and say, we now return you to your regularly scheduled program already in progress. Thank you very much. You didn't pause. There was no DVRs then. There was no streaming. There was none of that. And so I actually missed out on that best part, and it would frustrate me so much. You know, you'd have to go to school. You couldn't talk to your friends about it, like, what did I miss? Because they were watching the same emergency broadcast you were. And it would interrupt your show. And it almost always interrupted it at the best part of the show. Now, I'm not sure. I sometimes think they plan to do it at that time because they know it's prime time when most of the people are watching. I'd love to, you know, I'd love that job now. I want to be that guy that's like, and the show's getting good. Hit the button, you know, and interrupt everybody's life. But Sometimes I think they did it on purpose because they know that that's when the most people are watching. I believe a lot of times when we experience trials in life, sometimes God does it at what it seems like the best part. Things are going smooth, we're getting along, everything's just peachy keen and we're doing great. Why do I have to go through this trial? And we're going to find out that there's something God wants to teach us in the midst of the trials that we face. You see, trials are unscheduled and usually unwelcomed interruptions in our life into the normal pattern of life. And they always seem to come at the worst possible time. They can last for days, they can last for weeks, sometimes they last for even years, with the exact reason for them sometimes never being made clear to us. We can literally go through a trial, come out of the trial, and have learned something but not learned everything about that trial or why it had to come into our life, and trust in the middle of that process. You see, trials, they can make you feel helpless. But we do have one control. We do have control over one vital element. And in your outline right at the top, write this down. The most important thing about a trial is how you respond to them. How you respond to them. When you're going through a trial, you may not have control over that trial. You may not be able to navigate, change things, transform them, do anything to bring about any other kind of result. But what you can do is determine how you're going to respond to the trial that you're going through at this moment. Trials are indispensable, by the way, to our spiritual growth. In fact, I'll go so far as to say we cannot grow as we should without trials in our life. When we become challenged, it pushes us to another level. And trials, they test our spiritual mettle and reveal what we're made of. So I want to make a few observations about trials. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a trial right now. And you want to know, why am I going through this? What do I need to learn? Or maybe you're coming out of the trial. Or maybe you're sitting here going, man, things are going great. Well, I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be a trial that comes. And it's better to know how we should respond to trials, what we need to learn in the midst of them, because I've found this to be true. I've gotten in trouble before as a kid, once or twice, maybe three times. And just don't ask my mom or dad. And when I got in trouble, I would perceive it as a trial, okay? There's something that happened, or if something was going to take place and I knew confrontation was going to come, I used to try to avoid it, hide from it, lie about it, whatever it took, run, you know, whatever was necessary. But I found that as I've grown, the quicker I run to the trial, the quicker and learn what I need to learn, the quicker I get out of it. Now, that sounds kind of opposite to what our human nature wants to do. Our human nature wants to flee or to fight. But here in the Word of God, he'd say or encourage us that we need to run to that trial. Well, trials, they're not good. No, they're not. But what they produce in your life can be very good. As a matter of fact, number one, write this down. Trials are necessary for our spiritual growth. They're necessary. Now, I know that's, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear that. Trials are necessary. For Christians, you know, like I said, I gave my heart to Jesus. Shouldn't I be free of trials? But the Bible says that hard times that we face in life are so important for our growth that we should actually welcome them. And you might think, what? Welcome them? Why would I want to do something like that? Because of what it produces in our life. Trials, they're not always easy to handle, are they? No, they're not always easy to navigate. You wish you had all the answers, but you don't. You can frustrate others when you're going through a trial. You can frustrate yourself, and it just kind of feeds the fire. They can be difficult. They can hurt. They can be costly. But when God is the one that's behind the trial that you're going through, which means, it means this. It means that you're not some victim of some kind of random fate. Now, there's a difference, by the way. There's trials we go through that God allows into our life. If you're coming, you'll hear me say this again, but when a trial comes into your life, it doesn't come to you without first passing through the hands of God. God knows what's coming down the pike, and he'll strengthen you for whatever it is that you need. But then there's other trials that we create for ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. We're in church. Tell the truth. All right. We've created problems. If I go and I rob a bank, I'm going to create a problem for myself that God did not set up. I set up. If I decide to take part in something, just anything illegal or anything immoral, there's going to be a consequence because of the choice I made, and I bring that upon myself. But we're talking about, and what James is going to talk about today, is the trials that we encounter out of left field. Don't know where it came from. Why am I going through this? Those are the kind of trials that when you go through them, God says, I can build something new in your life. And so if you want, you can turn with me. It's in your outlines as well. But in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then I'll eventually get to verses 6 through 10. But he sets the stage about the trials that we go through. James 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. As I said, trials are necessary for our spiritual growth. James started to understand this. Therefore, he could say, count it all joy, because it's going to produce something. Now, to be honest, when I first read this, like when I was younger, even sometimes still today, when I read this scripture, James says, you know, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You probably have read this verse before and wondered at times, was James from another planet? I mean, the fact that he could sit there and say, count it all joy, everybody, when you encounter various trials, and people looked at him like, have you lost your marbles? You know, this is crazy. You don't count it all joy, but when you find that James's heart behind all of that is because it produces something else in your life, you start something better, something that's nurturing. You start to see why he says it. He's telling us that we are to bring joy that is pure, that's unadulterated. And he says, you take that, whatever trial, and you find a way to give it back to God, whether it's through praise and worship. It's through seeking him. And you start to say, Lord, you may not have removed the trial that I'm going through, but I'm asking that you would refine me as I go through this trial so I can become a better me. He's telling us that we must come to this place that even though we didn't plan on the trial, we didn't see the trial coming, when it arrives, that we have a response, because that's the one thing we do have control over, that we have a response that's more biblical, spiritual, godly, practical too, though. So what's that look like? How is that going to play out? Because we tend to think of trials as the exception rather than the rule in life. But isn't it true? And in your life and in mine, we go through trials. We face difficult situations. And the reality is that we're either, again, in a trial right now, coming out of a trial, or we're heading directly towards one. Trials are like the mail that you get at home that on the envelope says, occupants. Or to the resident of, and then it puts your address, right? Trials have a way of, they don't really care who you are. If you're living, if you're breathing, and if you can function, you know, you're going to face a trial in your life, and it's going to put your name on it. And trials just have a way of finding you. All you have to do to qualify for a trial is be alive and occupy some space right here on this planet. And we know that trials we face are inescapable, because James says, in the Bible, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He didn't say if. He said when. So we know we're going to face them. So I like the word he put in there, though, when you encounter various trials. That word encounter suggests that trials are not from our own making. You're going to run into them. You're going to experience them. You're going to go through circumstantial, you know, trials. You're going to go through some financial, some relational, some physical, maybe some emotional. And maybe it'll be a combination of the few. But when you encounter them, he says, your response, my response, should be to count it all joy and look for the good in it and look for God in it. And these circumstances, these trials, they have a way of knocking you and me through a loop. And we're just trying to figure out which way's up, which way's down. We're just trying to get our feet back planted on the ground. But trying to avoid trials is going to be nearly, and it will be, impossible. Trials is like, trying to avoid trials is like leaving one school and going to another school because you're trying to avoid the test that they were going to take in this school. No matter what school you go to, they will have tests there for you to take. You can't avoid them. So what you have to do is you have to take them. You have to learn from them. It's the same thing that when you and I go through a trial, no matter where you go, you will face these tests in life. But these tests are not there to destroy you. They're there to define you. Amen. And to develop you into what God has called you and me to be. Jesus said in the Bible, in this world you will have what? Tribulation, trials. Yeah, depending on what translation you use, says both of them. In this world, he didn't say you might, he said you will experience tribulations. There is a natural desire as human beings, though, to try to escape those troubles, to try to avoid them. But you can't run from God. You can't run from God-ordained trials because he knows where to find you, right? There's nowhere you can run from him that he can't find you. And we need to just settle in our hearts now when it comes to difficulties, trials in our life. And what we have to settle in our heart right away is that these trials are necessary so that we can grow and become stronger in our walk with Christ. Number two, write this down. Trials will always have a purpose. They will always have a purpose. When God allows you, remember, we're talking about the difference between trials that I've created for myself versus trials God's allowed me to encounter. The ones that he's allowed you to encounter, God will always have a purpose attached to the trial that you're going through. Christians aren't the only people who have problems, but there's a great difference between trials that we experience as believers versus those who don't believe in Jesus. For those who are Christians, there's no such thing as a purposeless trial that you will ever go through. And that's because every difficulty that comes your way, as I said, has to pass through the hands of God. And he always attaches a purpose to it. He always has a reason for it, even though you don't like it, even though you don't understand it, even though it doesn't make sense to me. God has a purpose in the middle of that. I know trials are very painful, but when God allows it, know that it's, first of all, passed through his hands, and then he's assigned purpose to it. Trials, they're like pain with a purpose that's connected to it, designed to launch us into the next spiritual level. And the reason, if you'll allow me to say it this way, we go through trials is because of that purpose. God wants to get us to that place where we can discover what he's trying to unearth. If you're like me, though, I've always asked, God, why don't you just show me or tell me what it is you want me to learn, and let's just bypass this whole trial thing. But I've found in life that I never learn the lesson I need to, like I need to, until I've gone through that trial. God has to shake me up sometimes and get my attention. Sometimes other people in my life have to shake me up and get my attention for me to really hear clearly and understand the depth of what it is that I need to understand. So God doesn't take you through a trial because he wants to cause you pain. He's not taking you through a trial because he has nothing better to do. It's actually because he loves you and wants you to catch this one thing. And whatever that one thing is, we must be paying attention to it and responding in a way that says, Lord, what is it I need to learn? I've learned to pray that way. When a trial comes my way, I just say, Jesus, what do I need to learn? What am I missing? Because the quicker I learn it and the quicker I know it, the quicker I'll get out of this, right? And I try to learn it and genuinely learn it. Because if I just try to, you can't fool God. You can't pretend you learned the lesson with God and think that he hasn't figured that out. He knows if you have or not, which determines whether I have to take that test again or not. And so I try the best I can to learn in the middle of those trials. But you'll find this, there'll always be a purpose. There will always be a purpose attached to it. That's why James said, knowing in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. He knew this. He knew that the trial counted all joy. Why? Because I know that when my faith is tested, James said, it's going to produce something in the form of patience. And then he said, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. The apostle says that we can rejoice in our trials because we know something important. We're knowing that the testing of our faith is going to produce something good in our life. That means that though we may not be immune to trials, we do have to face them. We do have to face them. They have passed, by the way, first of all, through the hands of God. He's assigned purpose to them. And then he says, now I want you to operate in faith. And when you operate in faith, you understand, number three, write this down, that when facing a trial, God is giving us the opportunity to mature. He's giving us the opportunity to mature. The reason for our trials is to grow us into spiritual maturity, as reflected in the word perfect. I like the word because it means perfect. It's a process. Perfecting is a process. Nobody here is perfect, are they? If you're here and you're perfect, raise your hand. Because as soon as you raise your hand, you've just disqualified yourself because you're lying. Nobody's perfect. But we're all in a perfecting process. We're all in a process of maturing, and nothing causes maturity to come or spring forth more speedily than when you go through a trial and you seek the Lord. Just going through a trial doesn't do it. But going through the trial and seeking God in the midst of it, that makes the difference in all the world, because spiritual maturity is a process of becoming more like Jesus Christ, letting more of his life show through more of your life or more through my life. It's like the person who asked the goldsmith, he was watching him refine some gold. He said, how do you know how long You got to refine the gold before it's done. Easy, the goldsmith said. He said, when I can see my reflection in it, then I know it's done. And trials are meant to refine us as Christians so that we come to a place when people look at us, they see Jesus in us. That's how you know you've come through something. The interesting thing about our trials is that they're custom made, by the way. Your trials in kind of some shape or form have your name on it. God knows how to package that or allow that in our life. One of the things Paul had to handle was, you remember, he had a personalized package called a thorn in the flesh. Do you remember that? It was in 2 Corinthians. And it says, Paul says, I understand, guys, that when you go through a trial, you feel like nobody's ever gone through this before. And somebody may not have ever gone through it exactly the way you are, or feeling every ounce of emotion, but others have gone before you and they've made it. And that's a testimony. But the question is, what are you learning in that process? Paul said, I went through, he said, there was a time in my life where he said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Why? So that I might not exalt myself above measure. He said, there's a thorn in my side. And they never really said what that thorn was. They didn't say who it was or what it was. Theologians today still argue and still talk about what the thorn was. But the problem is they're so focused on the thorn, they're missing the grace that God gave Paul to walk through the trial he was going through. Amen. You see, that's what you got to remember. That's what I've got to remember when you're going through a difficult situation. These trials are designed to cause us to grow. And my question is what are you focusing on, the thorn or the grace that gets you past that? He may not remove the thorn from your flesh as quickly as you want. He may not remove it ever, who knows? But I do know this, that his grace is sufficient in all that he goes through. And Paul, he didn't allow that thorn, so to speak. He didn't allow it to tear him down because he latched onto this one fact in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12, or 2 Corinthians 12. He said, for when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. I don't think he really felt strong in that moment. I'm just guessing. I mean, I don't know him. There's no commentary saying how he felt. But I have a feeling he learned a lesson that in trials, when you go through them, even when you don't feel, or maybe it's especially when you don't feel strong, you feel weak, that's when you draw from the presence of God. That's when you lean into Christ. God knew that. That day what Paul needed. And the same God that knew exactly what Paul needed knows exactly what you need today, and he can give it to you right now. You say you want the power of God to rest upon your life. You know what he usually does? Because I've said this prayer too. Jesus, I want to grow in my walk with you. Lord, I want you to develop and cultivate within me a depth in my walk with Christ. And he goes, okay. And he grabs a curveball and throws it my way. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, what about like a nice slow pitch across the plate? Just start things off real nice, you know. A lot of times when I ask or I seek to grow in my walk with God, it seems like a trial comes my way. And God, it's almost as if God is saying that the trial that you're going to go through is going to bring more depth in your life. It's going to push you to a place you haven't been before so you can learn something about me and about you that you don't yet know. I'll reveal it to you. That's how trials cause us to grow in our spiritual walk with God. That same power that you want, that I want, he makes available to you and me. But we've got to quit looking at trials as something that we need to run from, hide from, flee from. We need to just be ready to embrace them. Because if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, he's allowed that to come to you, which means whatever he's allowed, he's already authorized. He's already given you what you need to get through that season. Now just walk through that. Just make sure you take Jesus with you. And you'll find this, number four, write down that trials will test our readiness for life. Trials will test our readiness. A student went into a classroom and he sat down. He knew a test was coming, so he walked into the class. He was pumped. He was eager. He was excited. And he sat down and he said, that's it. He goes, I am ready for this test. To which the teacher just looked down and said, we shall soon see. Because it doesn't matter how excited you are about the test. It doesn't matter how pumped you are. It doesn't matter how much you've studied or prepped. What matters is how you respond in the middle of the test. And are you able to answer correctly? Well, you see, it's one thing to sit down in a pew in church and say, I'm ready for this test. And it's another thing to sing about God's ability to see you through the trial. But then it's another thing to sit down at test time in the middle of your week when you're facing a trial and actually take the test. and actually walk through the trial. All of us, I believe all of us, want to grow. But let's be honest. None of us want to take the test. None of us, if we had a choice, can I grow spiritually by just osmosis or by going through a trial, we'd pick osmosis. But nobody naturally in their own human nature just wants to go through a trial. You know, one of the things I hated in school the most was like the test that used to come. We'd get in the classroom and we're feeling good and we're joking around with our friends. And we'd sit down and the teacher would say, everybody clear your desk and take out a pencil and a piece of paper. And you probably know what came next because we are having a pop quiz. A pop quiz or a pop test. In other words, surprise. You weren't ready for this. You haven't been thinking about it. You didn't plan on it, but you showed up today, and today I'm going to test your readiness to see if you know what it is you say you think you know, because telling me is one thing, but now I'm going to have you sit down at the desk, and I'm going to have you produce something. It was a trial, is what I would call it when I was in high school. I didn't want to face that. You see, I just had to be ready every class, and that was the goal of the teacher. When she did a pop quiz, or he did a pop quiz, the reason they did the pop quiz is because when they give you a test, they say, on April 14th, you will have a history test over these chapters. Study them. Got it. I'd love to say I did great and knocked them all out of the park, but I didn't. But when they did a pop quiz, you didn't know when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen, how it was going to happen. It was a complete surprise. Trials can be like those pop quizzes, but they're not there to destroy you. They're there to develop you and show you what's on the inside. So when I took a pop quiz and I didn't do good at it, both me and the teacher knew I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. And when God puts you through these seasons of a trial and he shows you that maybe sometimes you don't know as much as you think you thought you knew, are you still following me? Then it's not to condemn you. It's not to humiliate you. It's just to say, see, now let me strengthen you. Let me heal your heart. Let me build you up. But he'll take you through those times just so you can simply learn this. And the temptation is this. You're going to want to quit when you face a trial. He said in James 1:3, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. It produces something good. Patience, some translations say endurance. Endurance is simply this. It's the ability to hang in there until the trial is over. It builds endurance. I was thinking back, what's a good example? And I was trying to think of different scenarios, but I remember not going back too far when I went through the master's program. It was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. That was one of the most difficult seasons of my life, not because it was bad or I didn't enjoy it, but it demanded a lot from me. And not just in the ways of test and work and papers and all that, but it demanded a lot from me in my family and in relationships and things like that. And I remember at one point, I had books that were this thick to read, 5 of them at a time. I'm like, I'm not going to remember all this stuff. Why are they making me go through this? You know, I don't need this thing. I don't need a degree on my wall. I'll just, you know, by the grace of God, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And God was like, no, you're going to do this. I'm like, why would you put me through this? And it wasn't until the end where I could look back and see the things that I learned, because the things that I learned had less to do with the exams and the papers and the tests, and it had more to do with my heart and the way I responded in those situations, and was I willing to seek the Lord, and when I heard him, was I going to respond in obedience? Because I'll tell you, there's a number of times I was going to quit, and I was serious, not just like, you know, this is stupid, I want to quit. It was like, I don't think I can do it anymore. I'm about ready to tap out. And as a matter of fact, about a third of my class did quit. Because it is very demanding, and it is very hard. But I hung in there. You see, the problem with quitting is simply this. If you quit, the problem with quitting is that you'll just have to go back to that place at some point when you give up on something, if you really want to grow. If you quit, you'll have to go back to that same place. Well, if I would have quit the master's and not gone back there, I'd have never had to gone back. No, but that test would have showed up somewhere else. And one of the things that was revealed to me in the middle of this trial was that it tested my readiness. If you ask me today, you could pull out any paper or assignment or anything that I did and say, hey, do you remember this? Can you tell me about it? I could maybe tell you, if I'm lucky, 20% I'd remember. Because I don't remember all the papers I wrote. I don't remember all the books that I read. I don't remember even everybody that was in my class, to be honest with you. But what I do remember is when I was writing those papers, how I was feeling and what I was learning and what God was speaking to me. I never forgot that. And that's what happens in the middle of a trial. God's less concerned with the paper that you produce or the money that you make or how big your boat is or whatever. He's more concerned with the condition of your heart. And therefore, when we go through a trial and we see it as it's just testing our readiness, he just wants to know, are you willing to give when God says give? Are you willing to go when God says go? Are you willing to surrender when God says surrender? Because we can say we do and we can sing we do, but do we actually do? That's when the rubber meets the road. So this is the challenge. It tests our readiness. And we've got to be very careful to not just put it to the side as if God doesn't care about these times. Are we doing okay? Okay, everyone's really quiet. So it's either because it's a gray day out or because everyone's really quiet because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, which is good. Let him speak. Because here's another thing we'll learn about these trials. Number five, write this down. Our attitude that we have in the middle of these trials will determine our altitude. You have a poor attitude, you're not going to get very high off the ground. You have a positive attitude, you're going to be able to grow in leaps and bounds, even if you don't have it all figured out. Because as we'll find out in a moment, it's not about our wisdom, it's about wisdom we gain from God. But it starts with our attitude. Our attitude will always determine our altitude. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes." Now, Romans 8 is similar to James 1, 2 in a way, but what Romans 8 doesn't say is that everything happens to us that it's good. He's not saying that everything is always good. He's saying God always finds the good in it. James is saying when you encounter a trial that God has allowed in your life, James is saying, do you look for him in the middle of it? And I'll be honest with you, when I go through a trial, sometimes I don't even know I'm going through it yet. Whenever I've gone through a trial, whenever I've gone through a spiritual battle, there's one thing the Lord's done for me, and I think he does it on purpose. Maybe he does it with you. But you see, God created me. God wired me. He knows how I think. And a lot of times when I'm going through a trial or when I'm going through a spiritual battle, it's not until I'm halfway through it that he reveals it to me. And I go, I'm going through a trial. Or this is one of those moments. It's a spiritual battle. And I believe he waits until I'm more than 50% through, because he knows that when I look at that and I go, well, if I'm 57% of the way through, I might as well just push through to the end. Because if he revealed it to me back here at 5% and said, trial's coming, I'd be like, I'm out, baby. You know, I'd want to take off. I'd want to run. And sometimes God will wait to reveal that to you till you're halfway through that process. But the reality is when it's testing your readiness, it's also checking your attitude, because your attitude determines how far you will grow. James does not say that trials are joyful, by the way. He says, count it all joy. He didn't say, pretend like you're happy. Counting is actually an accounting word, and it's something that you do. It's an action word. It's a verb. You count. You choose. And you and I must choose joy, is what he's saying. In all things, choose in trials, choose to be full of joy in the middle of the trial that it is that you're going through. Because here's the one thing the devil doesn't want you to know, okay? He doesn't want you to know this. He doesn't want me to know this. He doesn't want us to know that God can use your times of testing, these trials, to birth something wonderful in your life. He doesn't want you to know that. All the enemy wants you to see is the trial. Oh, how bad it is. Oh, my goodness, there they go again. Oh, there they go. You know, you should just get out. And when you're going through that, what the enemy does not want you and I to know is that there's something new about to be birthed, but we must wait upon the Lord. How many of you enjoy waiting? Well, not any of us, really. But when we do wait upon that, there's something new that comes forth. Moms, when you gave birth to your children, I'm not going to pretend to understand what you went through, okay? I don't know, emotionally, physically, mentally. I don't know what goes on in that moment when you're giving birth, but I am married to a woman who went through it, so I got a little bit of insight, but that doesn't mean I have any experience. So I'm not trying to pretend that I understand this, but I do know this. Just by watching and being in ministry and through my own personal relationship, I understand this. When a mother is giving birth to something new, even though there's pain involved, she doesn't quit, right? First of all, you can't, okay? Yeah, you can't just say, enough of this, put a cork in it, I'm going home. It's not going to happen. When you start that birthing process in the physical realm, you have to follow through with that. But here's the one thing I've heard from, you know, certain moms say this. The pain that they went through, though it was painful in the middle of the trial, did not quit because they knew that once the pain was over, however long that took, there was new life that was going to come out of that pain. And so therefore, they never quit. They never stopped, and they never gave up. And sometimes you may be going through a trial, and you're saying, I don't know if I can make it. I feel like my world is being torn apart. Are you leaning into God? Are you seeking Him and choosing joy and checking your attitude? Because it's in that trial that God is birthing something new. And when you need more from God, then you've got a number six, write this down. In our trials, know this, God will always give wisdom if we will only ask for it. We will only ask. The problem is not in God giving us wisdom. The problem comes in when we choose not to ask God for wisdom. For example, when my kids were growing up, I loved my son. My son is very smart, and I love that. He's way smarter than his dad, and I'm ecstatic about that, okay? But I do know that when he's trying to accomplish something, he wants to do it his way, and he wants to figure it out, you know, just of a sense of accomplishment, maybe a hint of stubbornness, but, you know, I want to do it. And so I remember when he was a little kid, I told him I would help him out if he ever needed it. And I'd say, Seth, if you need some help, let me know. Okay, and he'd go in there and he'd get mad. I don't even remember what it was. He's trying to put something together, and I could have easily helped him because at the time he was like 3 foot high and 8 years old, you know, and I could have just come in and done it, no problem. So I said, Seth, if you need any help, let me know. I will. You know, he's kind of a little testy with me. You know, I will. I'm like, you know, excuse me, Mr. Smarty Pants. So I walked off to my bedroom until all of a sudden I heard a little more banging, and then he's getting frustrated. And I said, what is going on? Dad, would you please help me? I said, absolutely. I told you I would. And I stepped in and I helped him. And maybe it frustrated him because it came easier for me. But that's because I've been around a little longer than Seth, right? Many of you, when you're going through trial, God says, I'll give you wisdom if you'll just ask. And sometimes we go, I know. And we don't ask. And then all of a sudden we're banging and clanging things until finally we say, God, would you please help me? And he says, I told you I would, Mr. Smarty Pants. My grace is always sufficient. I'll be here for you. But the point is simply this. We have to ask. Just ask God. You don't have to approach him in some religious, fluffy, spiritual way. Just talk to him. Jesus, I need your wisdom. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Right there. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. It's in the word of God. That's a promise. He says, I will give it to you. In asking for wisdom, this is important. Catch this, please. If anything, when you are asking God for wisdom in a trial you're going through, you are asking him for wisdom, not so much as to why you're going through the trial, but you're asking him for wisdom on how to get through the trial. Did you catch that? Amen. Okay. Because a lot of times that's where we make the mistake. Jesus, your word says that if I ask for wisdom, you will give it. So what's up? Why am I going through this? Why does this have to happen to me? Why me? Why not them? See, that's the wrong question. When you're going through a trial, you're not asking for wisdom necessarily so you can figure out why you're going through it and others aren't. You're asking, Lord, how do I get through it? What's the next step I need to take? You know, and he gives you that wisdom from above. See, it's not enough to just ask the right question, though. You got to ask with the right spirit. That's why he put in James, verse 6. He said that when you ask, let that man be or woman be the one who asks in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Why is he unstable? Because he's not asking, he's not seeking, he's full of doubt, worry, anxiety, concern. And God says, no, when you come with a motive that says, I just want the pure, unadulterated wisdom from above to be able to know what the next step is so that I, number seven, never waste a trial. So that I never waste a trial. Every trial you go through, don't waste the opportunity of God to speak into your life. The reason we need wisdom from God to handle our trials is to keep us from wasting these opportunities for spiritual growth. When you look at your trials through human eyes, you'll react by human nature. You'll get bitter instead of better. But when you can look at it through God's eyes, then there's a healing that can be there. There's a compassion There's a love that you can have that comes from above. And there's two godly ways that we can handle our trials. A, you can glory in your position. B, you can glory in your humiliation. James was talking about, count it all joy, my brother, when you go through various trials, letting it have its perfect work to produce endurance, to produce patience. He says, have the right motive in your heart. But then he goes on and says in verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation or in his position, but the rich in humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. What James is saying is simply this. He says, the poor person, he says, maybe it's a person that has to come to this place where they've been humbled by the means in their life. Maybe it's because they got laid off. Maybe it's because money's tight. They're tired of being broke. There doesn't seem to be any way out financially. And it's easy in that kind of a setting for a person, for a believer, to become angry at God because it seems like God's not coming through. Everything seems to be disappearing. He says, glory in the position of who you are in a child of God. Perhaps sometimes God allows trials in our life, or he allows seasons where things get tight, maybe financially, or we're challenged in a relationship thing, because he wants us to focus less on what we have in the material sense and wants us to focus more on him. See, in other words, here's what he was saying. If you're in a situation right now, you're going through a trial, don't get mad at God. He's saying, don't get mad at God. Let your trial draw him closer to him as you learn to take your eyes off of the physical and put them on the spiritual. Take your eyes off of what's broken or not working right now and look to God and say, Lord, what is it I need to learn? Because both the poor and the rich need to learn that God and not anything else is the source of their security. Because trials are inevitable. We're going to go through them. And the question will always remain, how do we respond to each and every trial? When you seek the Lord and you apply some of these principles, you may not do it perfect. You might remember one of the seven. You might remember all seven. But the question is, what will you do with them? If you give me a tool, it means nothing until I learn how to use the tool. Then I can build something. And this is what the Lord wants to give us today. If we want to grow in our spiritual walk with him, he says this. Here's the payoff, so to speak. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures whatever trial or temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. It reminds me of the story, and I'll close with this. Little boy on a plane, he's flying. He was sitting next to a lady, and this lady was kind of afraid of flying. She was actually deathly afraid of flying, and it was a particularly turbulent flight. And they were going through, and the plane was just crashing all over the place, and with every little falling of the air, the little boy would squeal in joy. It was like he was riding a roller coaster, and he would just belly laugh, you know, and he loved it, and it just ticked the older lady off, because she, with every time that plane went down and he laughed, she wet herself a little bit or something like that, because she's like, oh my gosh, I'm scared of the, you know, and it was making her mad. She was getting frustrated. And she looked at the little boy finally as they continued to hit that turbulence. And she said, would you stop having so much fun? She said, just stop it. How can you have so much fun when the plane is bouncing around like it is? And without missing a beat, the little boy looked back and said, oh lady, my dad's the pilot. When you know the pilot, you don't worry. You see, whatever trial you're going through right now, the difference between giggling with joy or the other is who's your pilot. And if you'll let God see you through this, he will develop something fresh and new in your life. Here's my question to you today. Will you let him? And will you lean into that? Will you pray with me today? Father, I pray for each and every person that's here, for whatever trial we go through. Lord, we know that your word says your grace is sufficient. And Lord, we know that in our head. We've heard preachers preach it. We've quoted it to ourselves in our own lives. But what we want to do is experience it. It's not good enough to just know it. Lord, we want to be able to act upon in a faith that is proactive in seeking you no matter what trial we go through. Because your word says that when we do, it builds within us an endurance. It builds within us a patience. But Lord, we've got to be willing to go to that place and say, Lord, in this trial, where do I see you? Lord, I pray for each and every person here today. And this is what I want to do, church. Will you just put your hands out in front of you? And I don't know what that trial is, but in a way of a great exchange, as you just put your hands out, I'm going to ask the Lord to come. And whatever the trial is, I'm not going to ask him to take your trial away because he's placed it there. That would be an error. But I'm going to ask him to come and place within your very spirit a depth to walk through this season in your life so that as we walk through these trials, we become better, not bitter. We become whole and healed instead of letting something corrupt us. Father, I pray that as we extend our hands to you, we're asking today that you will place within our very hearts the ability to be able to stand strong. Lord, the ability to endure whatever it is we're going through, not because of how good we are, not because of how strong we are, but because we lean into you. And today, we count it all joy, whatever the trial is, and we ask that, Father, you will take that trial and allow it to be a seed that transforms and develops us, and we grow and we become stronger together. God, use this. May we not miss the point of the test. And may we not quit, because we know we'll only have to take it again later. Jesus, develop in our hearts now a depth that brings growth. In Jesus' name. Amen, church.